You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
This is Titletown Sound.
Prepare yourself for overwhelming intelligence.
He's going to look like Gronk riding a unicorn carrying a lightsaber.
I know how toast works.
Clay Matthews, squirrel whisperer.
Your squirrel-naming game is not strong.
The turd cheeseburger could come back.
If one of us wants to pee on it, sure.
I'm not bailing you out on that.
I was acting unprofessionally.
I'm just here to ruin things.
Episode number 90, the BJ Raji edition of Titletown Sound. Going through the ether, past an enigma, taking a left at Pluto, entering your mind space at a rate that cannot be measured by any human standard. Today we'll be drinking barbecue sauce and making fart jokes while watching Benny Hill. So, standard fare for us, really.
Well, we would expect no less from the BJ edition.
Yes. Joining old Bobo on the show, that's me, by the way, is Mr. James Corsmo. James, how are you this fine night?
I'm doing well. I have my barbecue sauce lined up in front of me. We're gonna start with a mild Sweet Baby Ray and move all the way up to a demon spit hellfire. So by the end of the show, it should be fun. I'll be broadcasting directly from the bathroom.
Yes. There'll be a lot of spit and hellfire for sure later on, but we'll get to that soon enough. Chris Christofko is here as well. We'll see how long Chris can hold out. He was out leading the parade, celebrating Aaron Ripkowski's birthday. Chris, how are you holding up?
I am so high on NyQuil right now. It should be an interesting show.
Indeed.
Air quotes around NyQuil.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Math. I'm just using it as a weight loss program, though.
It's science.
Titletown Sound does not endorse the use of math. On this edition of the show, James and I asked the question, if I were a Magic the Gathering color, which one would I be? We also discuss how good the Legends of the Hidden Temple movie could possibly be, and we pay tribute to the Chicago Bears and their late-game porous secondary that has brought joy to millions of Packers fans over the last several years. Not to mention Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb. Well, the list goes on. But first things first, let's talk about the game that was Green Bay and Chicago. It's nice to have a Packers win, as always. And you knew somehow they were going to win the doggone game because they're the cardiac pack again, in a manner of speaking. But we had to talk about Dom Capers, who we have talked about in less than positive lights on the show. And a question that I think James brought up when we were talking earlier today, Dom Capers, is he simply an awful defensive coordinator or the worst defensive coordinator? And Chris, I will pose the question to you first.
There are weeks where he looks like he's just really done his work and he's prepared and he's got some innovative ideas to solve problems. And then there's weeks where it looks like he showed up like 15 minutes before class and didn't know there was a test that day. You just don't know what you're going to get. And, you know, you couple that with the fact that the secondary especially is very young and they're still battling injuries. And you just wonder what's going on sometimes. I think the game passed Dom Capers by about, 4 years ago. And I think it was time to move on. I don't know why we haven't. This defense hasn't been, hasn't been very good since they won the Super Bowl. So I don't know why we've gone with the same old year after year. I don't know that everything was Dom Capers' fault this time, but I do know that his defenses have been a liability in the past. It seems like there's enough talent, or there should be enough talent, and yet we get what we got, which was a huge comeback. Now, look, the offense plays a part in that. They couldn't exactly convert a third down, but it certainly seemed like we couldn't get to the quarterback or get the pressure that we needed when it was necessary, and that the defense really did kind of fold in the second half. So, I will go with whichever of those two options was the worst. I'll go with that one.
Very good. So going with worst, James, what do you think?
Dom Capers is the most frustratingly inconsistent coordinator I've ever seen in my life. He's 1 minute 1 week we're playing the Seahawks and we're shutting them down left and right. And yes, a lot of that was Russell Wilson throwing the ball all over the field and Doug Baldwin letting balls bounce off his helmet and into people's hands. And it was a lot of that had nothing to do with Dom Capers, but the defense held up really good against them. Then we, you know, flash forward to the next week and we have the Bears. It starts out rough, but it gets better. And then, you know, we have a 17-point lead halfway through the third quarter. And Dom decides now's the time to play the soft defense you can possibly play. You have your cornerbacks lining 10 yards up off the ball every single down. Demarius Randall's running around freelancing, doing whatever he pleases because he's getting no guidance from anybody, apparently.
And Randall's, 10 yards off the ball, but he's also, 6 yards to the left.
Yeah,
it's very strange.
It is. I'm convinced that he just was. I actually don't. It's like he was playing. He was playing table tennis. I think he was just all over the place. But to get back to the original point, Dom Capers. The times where his defenses play well are not enough to me. It doesn't do enough for me to make me think this guy should stick around with us past this year, because if you can't depend on having a consistent defense, that's everything. You need that. You need to know that your defense is going to have a game plan every week, but it's at least going to keep them in the game. Rodgers isn't always going to put up a gazillion yards every week. It's just not going to happen.
When Dom Capers' defense is successful that day, you think to yourself, all right, he didn't screw it up. Not like, oh, he did something so innovative and what a nice choice he made there. It's right. That, no, he didn't do anything foolish to make us angry.
Right. I wanted him gone after the 2014, the playoff game in 2014. If I could have fired him on the field, I would have. And then last year, and it's just, I don't know how much more needs to build up to make a case for getting rid of the guy. He's got to go.
What I don't get is, why wouldn't you want some young blood in your organization? You know, why not try to bring in a defensive coordinator who's a little younger, who has something a little more to offer, who might be able to hang around and be, you know, part of the future of the organization? You know, Dom Capers ain't going to be around that long when it comes to defensive coordinating, and I just don't get the allegiance there.
Yeah, no, and a lot of people, you know, a lot of the Dom defenders will say, well, he's, you know, look at who he's getting from Ted Thompson in the draft. He's not getting anybody. Well, that's true to a point, but at some point you have to manage the resources you have efficiently. And no matter who you have at cornerback, when it's third and seven and your cornerbacks are 12 yards off the ball, there's something wrong there, and it's happening every single time. You remember last week on the podcast how funny we thought the idea of Matt Barkley carving up the Packers defense was?
I recall something about that, yes.
Remember how much we laughed and laughed? It was the joke. Matt Barkley had 340-something yards.
It's not fun to actually be carved up by Matt Barkley.
It's not. There's no excuse for that. I don't know what else to do. I'm so fed up with him.
All right, we'll move on to our next
one. I want
to
stop for a second because what's even more frustrating is that the week before, they shut down Russell Wilson. How the hell does that happen? I just don't. That's what frustrates me. I just don't get it.
I still chalk at least some of that up to Russell Wilson simply having a bad game. I mean, it as good a quarterback as he is, everybody has an off day. And that was his, whether it was a cold, whether he was just due, as they say. I don't know, but I guess I attribute a lot more of that particular game to Wilson being off than to the defense being brilliant. So, I don't know, that's my take. James, do you have anything to add?
No, I think a lot of the Seahawks game was Russell Wilson being off, and more so than that, I think it was the wide receivers for the Seahawks being off. I think the cold really affected them, and they weren't all there. Whereas the Bears, you know, they play in the cold too, and so they know what it's like. And it bothered me how poorly that was game planned and how awful it just was bad.
Indeed. Well, let's go from talking about something bad there to something good. Aaron Rodgers, dude's been awesome. Question that I pose to you, gentlemen: should Aaron Rodgers be in the running for MVP if they win? And if he continues to play well, James, I know on Twitter you were already chiming in on this particular subject, so for anybody who is not on Twitter, which is about, I think there's about four people maybe not on Twitter at this point.
Maybe.
But anyone who hasn't been on Twitter, what are your thoughts on the matter?
I absolutely, 100%. I'm not saying he should win it necessarily. I think that there are other quarterbacks or other players out there that have had probably statistically better years than him marginally. But he really, really deserves to be in the top three or four. Absolutely he does. With the way that... the way that he's brought this team back, the way that he's shown, you know, the leadership that everybody says he doesn't have, but he, you know, he does clearly. The stats that he's put up since week eight, they're ridiculous. You know, it's an off year, quote unquote, for him, and he's still going to be, you know, seven interceptions, all you know, something like 35 or 36 touchdowns. It's silly. So. Yes, please consider him. I'll do what I need to do.
You get that hype video together for us?
Yes.
I was very not vocally, but you know, I was thinking before a couple weeks ago, you know, that to say he's an MVP candidate was way overstating his case. But now looking back and looking at what he's done, especially in the last several weeks, I don't think it is at all. I think he's the reason this team has turned around, especially playing with the injuries he has. I think that, you know, well, we said it last week. If Rodgers goes down, this ship sinks. And that's the case with a lot of starting quarterbacks. But in this case, the ship never rights itself if Rodgers isn't able to kind of will it around. He had some off games. But again, it's hard to measure his off games because the measuring stick we're using is Aaron Rodgers. You're measuring him against his best. The beginning of the season, he did look off. I think he's certainly gotten back to where he needs to be. His accuracy is better. His timing is better. His pocket presence is better. Everything has improved. And damn, he's put this team on his shoulders. He's gotten some help from some receivers who have improved. Jordy Nelson looks even better this week. But yeah, I think Rodgers has to be. I don't think you can declare anyone the winner now with these two remaining weeks. It remains to be seen what he does. Leading the NFL in touchdowns, Rodgers definitely has to be a candidate at this point. I don't know that he's the front runner, but he's up there. He's definitely up there.
And he's doing it on like a quarter of a leg. That's what and he has been for what, three or four weeks now. That to me is what really seals it. Like the guy, he's out there gutting it every single game, and he's playing at a higher level than every other quarterback in the league, save for maybe Tom Brady. And he's got to be recognized for that somehow.
Yeah, no, I agree.
All right. I guess the question that I've got is, who else would you guys say is in the running for MVP? I know Matt Ryan is one guy in particular. I don't know if either of you want to have a name you want to jump in with, but...
Brady jumps off the page to me. I know people hate him, and I know he missed four games, but I don't... The only thing I like about Tom Brady is he gives me hope that Aaron Rodgers can play as well as he is now, you know, 10 years from now, because, you know, he's like ageless, and he's playing at an elite level at a very advanced age for a quarterback. But, I mean, he's been almost flawless this year.
All right. I don't know, James, any other thoughts, other names you want to throw out there?
Jeff Janis.
Ripper for MVP?
Jeff Janis has proven his MVP... he's been an MVP this season by just, but his presence, it should be most valuable presence is what it should be.
There you go.
For Jeffrey Q. Janis.
See, now if Janis and Ripkowski could share the award, that would be totally cool with me. But I don't know. We'll see how the votes come down in the MVP race later on after the season. But moving on to the next subject, looking ahead really to the next game, Packers and the hated Minnesota Vikings, and doggone those Minnesota Vikings, they've been a thorn in Aaron Rodgers' side. But the Vikings have been sliding, the Packers have been rising. It seems like it's a good time for the Packers to take on Minnesota. And Chris, I'll throw you this question. How much better are you feeling maybe about this game right now than you were, say, a month ago? Or do you feel any better?
No, I feel infinitely better about this game. First of all, it's at home. Rodgers does not lose at home in December. He just doesn't. And the Vikings are a team in decline. They are a shadow of what we thought they were after the first 5 weeks. Their defense has been exposed. Sam Bradford has been re-exposed. We knew what Sam Bradford was. No one wanted to believe it after those first 5 weeks. Their front office has been exposed after giving up a number one for Sam friggin' Bradford. We laughed and laughed when it happened. For the first 5 weeks, we were a little concerned. Maybe we were wrong, but no, we were right. This Vikings team does not worry me. There's a certain child abuser who has returned to the team. He doesn't worry me. He's supposedly back at 100%, but remember, even when he was 100% before he left, the Packers held him to, like, you know, no yards. So there's nothing really about this team at home that worries me. I don't think it's going to be a blowout necessarily, but I think the Packers will be able to handle them. They're just not what they're not who we thought they were. They're a much more flawed team than they showed at the very beginning of the season. But every week that seems to be exposed more and more.
All right, James, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree with most of those points. I don't ever want to take anybody too lightly, but I mean, if you think about it, we played them week two. It was Sam Bradford's first week. They were opening their stapler. It was a big deal for them as prime time. They kind of were playing with house money at that point, and they just let it fly, and they won the game. And not by a whole lot either. So I do think that the Packers have changed as well. Their run defense especially isn't as good as it was then. But this is a very winnable game, and the circumstances have changed so much that I think that there's a lot of urgency up at Lambeau, and I think they're going to come out and do what they need to do. It's going to be a close game. It's not going to be a blowout. Don't go anywhere, but it should be. We should come out victorious, I think.
Right. I guess I don't have a whole lot to add to that, other than I'm really glad that we're catching them at this point in the season. It seems like everything's just kind of breaking the Packers' way, and
watch your mouth.
It's and of course, you never know anything that's going to happen in the NFL, and other than Jeff Janis will win MVP and Aaron Rutkowski will too.
And what was amazing this weekend was literally, as a Packers fan, had you drawn it up, this is exactly how you would have drawn it up, with every team that you wanted to win won, every team you wanted to lose lost. Really, you know, making the Packers, there's a possibility they could still lose a game and still get into the playoffs now. Where that wasn't possible with if everything didn't fall exactly the right way. Still their best route is win both games, they're in, and I think that's what happens. But, man, everything went the right way. If that continues to happen, you know, even better.
Indeed. We're not superstitious here at Titletown Sound, because superstition is bad luck. And on that note, thank you, Bobby Valentine, for that. I'm sure you weren't the first to say it, but that's where I got it from. On that note, we are going to go to a break. And when we come back, we will have Twitter questions. We will have got a couple of voicemails. We got Papa K's Nuggets of Wisdom.
We're going to drop on. We have cookies and punch.
Sure. If that's what you're going to call the NyQuil now, we can have
I need something to wash down this barbecue sauce.
Well, I would recommend more barbecue sauce.
All right.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to go to break, and stick around, because we will be right back. And let's face it, you have nowhere else to go. Babbo here, delighted once again to talk with you about our friends over at What's the Score, the Sports News Quiz. If you haven't listened to their show yet, they've got a slew of great panelists showcasing their sports knowledge. I'm talking TV personalities like WISN's Dan Needles, CBS 58's Kevin Holden, and WTMJ's Lance Allen. And radio people you may already be listening to in the Milwaukee area, people like Armin Sarian, Matt Pauly, and Doug Russell. What's the Score can be found on Spreaker.com, iHeartRadio, and of course their website, WTS.com. sportsquiz.com.
titletownsound.com. You can also find out how to be a contestant on the show there. Tell them Titletown Sound sent you. That's WTSSportsQuiz.com.
Hey, Titletown Sound listeners. We appreciate you listening to us every week, and we have a question, a favor actually, to ask. Could you give us a rating? Look, does the podcast make your ears bleed? No? Good. And give us a rating on iTunes. It helps us so that people can find us easier, can search us, and our podcast shows up in the ratings. When you rate us and give us a review, it makes us more visible. And hey, don't you want others to have to suffer through this podcast just like you do?
Here on Titletown Sound, you stuck around through the break. Good for you. It is time now for Twitter stuff. You can tweet at Titletown Sound any old time of day or night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 or 66 days a year. And we love hearing from you because, well, we have nothing else to do, basically. Couple questions put out earlier today on our Twitter. One was the biggest Pro Bowl snub. Pro Bowl announcement came out. Only 3 Packers, I believe, made the Pro Bowl list, none of them starters. And we wanted to know, who did you think got snubbed that really should be on the roster? And let's be frank, could still end up on the roster if another, 400 players decide they don't want to go to Hawaii. Orlando. Did they move it?
They moved it to Orlando, yeah.
It shows you how much I pay attention to the Pro Bowl. Atlas Sports.
So I can get Pro Bowl tickets and swing by Disney?
Absolutely.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Atlas Sports Fan said, Ripper, because he's the greatest of all time. James, your thoughts?
No argument there. It's his birthday today. What a great gift that would have been.
Did you see which fullback made the roster, though?
No.
Was not the rubber stamp John Kuhn. Tolbert.
Who was it?
It was Tolbert? Mike Tolbert?
Yeah. Really? Yeah.
Interesting.
That's what I thought. Interesting.
That is interesting.
Stroking my chin as I say that. Interesting. All right. Well, of course,
Ripper. Air quotes around chin.
So also, a couple people tweeted in. And said Bakhtiari and Bulaga at underscore John Lazat and Jay Kaufman 150, both saying that. Chris, your thoughts on Bakhtiari and Bulaga? Should they have gone to the Pro Bowl?
It's hard to argue with this offensive line as good as, it's so, so damn good. I don't know what Bulaga has to do to get I think you said this earlier on Twitter, James. I don't know what Bulaga has to do to get into the Pro Bowl. It's just obscene. But he's been fantastic. I don't get it. And I'm guessing, and I didn't look at all the offensive linemen, I'm guessing it's very heavy with Cowboys, and I think it's unfortunate. I think Bakhtiari, look, I think you always get the one-year delay on offensive linemen. They're not, glamour positions, so it takes a while for them to really get credit. So you're kind of always 1 year behind. So Bakhtiari, I understand. It's not fair, but last year it was a relatively mediocre year for him as a left tackle. This year he's been very good. So I think he'll start getting the recognition next year. But Bulaga, I can't explain.
Hey, James?
Yeah, Bulaga just, it stupefies me. It really does. I don't know what the guy has to do. Because as Chris said, there is definitely a one-year delay. But Bulaga should have been in 2 years ago. I don't know. I don't understand it. It really bothers me because he put a... I don't know. I haven't looked at the roster either, but again, I'm assuming that they're Cowboys because that's all anybody ever talks about is the Cowboys offensive line. But I've been watching Brian Bulaga for the last 15 weeks put people, just pancake people, to keep his quarterback upright. And he's doing it through injuries and everything else. And he's an alternate, I believe. So... It really, really bothers me. Him and Mike Daniels, who I'm fairly certain didn't make it because his stats weren't great. But, 98% of what Mike Daniels does can't be measured on a stat sheet. And
be measured on a seismograph.
It could be a seism. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, they're not really rewarding people for how they play. They're rewarding people for how they think they play. And it's not fair, but it is what it is.
That takes us into our last response to this at Trevor Kurak, who said Jordy Nelson, he thought was the biggest snub, said OBJ and Fitz got in on name recognition. Jordy's putting up the numbers, but I feel like Jordy's a name too. But James, do you think Jordy got overlooked here? Or?
Well, he's an alternate too from what I saw, but possibly, I think. I mean, look, if I'm not mistaken, he leads the NFL in touchdown receptions. I mean, that means something.
If so.
You know, he's been clutch, especially the last 3 or 4 weeks. He's been, you know, almost back to old Jordy Nelson. But the NFC is stacked with receivers, and I'm not sure I can really argue against OBJ or Fitzgerald, to be honest. I mean, they both had really good years too. So I just think that Jordy might be a victim of just being a medium-sized fish in a really, really big pond.
Yeah, I think that Jordy started off a little bit slow too. And remember, the voting started several weeks ago. So he started off with a handicap because he didn't come out of the box hot. And his last 3 weeks have really been very strong. So he's almost had the, you know, a very quiet season, except for the fact that he's leading the NFL in touchdowns. But it hasn't been in a very flashy way. So I don't think that's one of, or even near the biggest snub, even on the team. I mean, I get it. I'd like to see him, you know, be selected, but I don't think that one is a huge injustice.
All right. Also tweeted out the question, anything from the Bears game that concerns you, biggest worries going forward? And we had a few people, Jay Kaufman 150, Tyler _ Stranky, and Zach Shesky Man, all basically said the fourth quarter defense. And the fact that Jay Kaufman said, the fact that the defense gave up 17 points in one quarter to Matt Barkley and some mediocre receivers. Defense equals trash. And we kind of touched on that, James. The fourth quarter defense, confidence level 1 to 10 right now?
3, maybe. I don't know. It's so inconsistent. I mean, they were lights out in the fourth quarter against Seattle. You know, Aaron got to go sit down and enjoy the game with a, you know, with a glass of cognac and a Samsung tablet for a quarter, but
so that's what's in the tent.
It is. And then, well, yeah, it's just a tapper and a couple bottles of liquor. But anyway, no, but then you know, this week against a much inferior offensive team, and they played like, you know, crap for the last quarter and a half. So my confidence level, honestly, it against the Vikings, maybe a 3 or a 4, because who knows? I mean, if Matt Barkley can carve him up, it's Sam Bradford, Sam Bradford, but, you know, who knows?
Hey, Chris?
Yeah, I think the word inconsistent is the perfect word. You just don't know what you're going to get. And Demaryius Randall, I mean, just looks lost out there. I don't know what's going on. I don't know, you know, where's the coaching? Where, you know, he ended up getting benched at one point, and, you know, he's supposed to be, you know, at least part of the future here. That worries me, and we're going to need him to step up. He's going to have to play better than he did Sunday if we're going to have, you know, make any sort of run here. And without Randall being able to solidify some of those, that position back there, I don't know what to expect from this defense. I really don't. And it just felt like the pressure wasn't getting there as it had been in the last couple of weeks. You know, you hope as Clay Matthews shoulder heals a bit that'll get better, but yeah, the inconsistencies are what worry you the most.
All right, kind of touches on at Old Man Betty, who said, I know everybody will say giving up the 17 point lead, but that was more human nature than bad defense. And Chris, I guess I want to ask you, 17 point lead, teams maybe tend to ease up a little bit just because they're feeling comfortable going into cruise control. Would you agree with Old Man Betty it's a little more human nature than bad defense, or
no.
Defense just sucks?
No, it's not human nature. Look, the offense has some of the responsibility here, too, because they couldn't convert third downs. And I didn't even realize they were like number 2 in the league at this point, you know, going into the second half of that game in third down conversion rate. But They couldn't convert third downs. The defense couldn't get off the field except for with turnovers. I don't think it's human nature. Look, I hate to run this narrative again, but it seems to be in recent history, it seems to be Mike McCarthy team nature. And I don't know if it's his fault or if it's just bad luck, but we've heard it before. Where's the killer instinct? Why can't they finish off teams? And this were, as soon as they started coming back, I thought, oh God, we're going to have another one of those games where a Mike McCarthy team lets a bad team back in a game. And they did. This time they were able to finish them off, but you know, we're one drop pass, another drop pass away from not being able to finish off the team. But with that said, there were also like four plays that if they're executed properly, this game is like, you know, 56-17 or something ridiculous. So it goes both ways that, you know, there were a couple of Jordy drops, a couple of Davante Adams drops in the end zone. So this game could have gone the other way, but it still was a little disconcerting to see the team kind of let up.
All right, James, thoughts on human nature versus bad defense?
I think it's not. I don't think it's human nature. I think it's Dom's nature. And I'm not saying he's not human, but I am not saying he is. You cannot prove to me that he's not like a Men in Black alien, like with a little tiny alien in his head, and he like pop his ear open, and it
explains a lot about the hair.
It does, you know, and then he's like the galaxies and Julius Pepper's beard or something, and then the next thing you know, whatever. Dom Capers loves to just lay off. He loves to do it, and I don't know why. I don't know if it's because he doesn't want to put things on tape. I don't know if he doesn't want to get people hurt. I don't know what his reasoning is, but it's what he does, and that is reason number one. I hate it. I hate him, and I want him to go. You know, you look at the elite teams in the NFL, they don't do that. They don't give up, you know, they don't go up 17 points and then start playing, you know, vanilla soft serve defense. They pin their ears back and they go even harder. And that's just not something the Packers do. It's just not. That probably cost us a Super Bowl or at least a chance at one in 2014. And it almost cost us a game on Sunday. So it's Dom nature.
Good point. And our last tweet at @Jimmy_Riley that his main concern is slowing down good passing offenses. Packers cornerbacks have been pretty bad. Not having 37 has killed them. We have not mentioned Sam Shields in quite a while. And I mean, any defense can struggle against an elite passing offense, especially if your defense is beat up. But I guess, James, I'll ask you, how much do you think the Packers really are missing Sam Shields at this point?
If you'd have asked me that about a month ago, I would have said, well, I mean, they miss him, but it's, you know, they have fundamental issues other places too. But now that they're kind of starting to get more and more exposed every single week for their deficiencies, I do honestly think they're missing Sam Shields a lot more than they're letting on. His speed and his ability to cover the elite receivers, that really, we really miss that, because with him, that would free up Demaryius Randall to go double team somebody else. Sam Shields had a trickle down effect to, you know, the whole rest of the secondary. And without him back there now, it's just kind of a free for all. And there's not a whole lot of organization. And but for his sake, I want him to stay retired. I would like for him to grow old and be a happy man and not, you know, end up dead.
Chris, thoughts on Sam Shields being gone?
Yeah, they miss him pretty badly, and it's going to have to be addressed in the draft, because I don't think he's ever coming back, and nor do I think he should. I think that he needs to remain retired for his own health, and they're going to have to find that number one corner because they no longer have it. It's not only a concern for this year, but it's a concern going forward, and you saw the domino effect it had. We said at the beginning of the year they were deep at corner, but as soon as your number one corner is out, another injury, and now suddenly your number three is your number one, and that's how you quickly realize how shallow you are at every position in the NFL. So yeah, they miss him like crazy. They're just going to have to make do this year and figure it out in the offseason, but it was a huge loss, and it continues to show itself.
All right. Well, thank you again, guys, for your tweets at Titletown Sound. Don't forget to follow us there as well, because we like followers just like we like getting tweets. And we move on now to our voicemail, which you can also call 24/7. The number is 920-445-8876. Or in other terms, 920-445-TTSO, if you like letters more than numbers. Does 445 mean anything? Can we convert that into letters?
No.
No, we're not good at it like that. We prefer the numbers. It's okay, guys. You can drink your barbecue sauce.
It's how much I weigh.
H-I-K. Hike TTSO.
Hike TTSO. Oh, there you beautiful. Go. See, that works.
It's my normal blood sugar.
It's my resting heart rate.
Let's keep up the happy thoughts here as we have a little something for the Ripper as our first voicemail today.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Aaron. Happy birthday to you and many more. Have a fabulous Christmas and a happy new year. Bye-bye. And go Packers, go.
And thank you for the voicemail. James, do you want to rate the singing of Happy Birthday to Aaron Ripkowski?
If she was on, what the hell is that show with Simon Cowell on it now? The America's Got Talent? She's going through. That was beautiful. That was beautiful.
TTSO's Got Talent. Yeah, it's like one of my new favorite voicemails because, first of all, the subject matter, you can't go wrong. Second of all, God bless her for singing on our voicemail. And third of all, it's probably the best sober voicemail we've ever had. And we've only had about four, but it's probably the best.
We've had that many sober
That seems like an overestimation, I think.
I'd have to agree with that. On that note, we'll move on to our second voicemail, which is titled Nothing, because I didn't write down a title for this. Here we go.
I'm telling you right now, Jordy's healthy, Aaron eating, Ty Montgomery's the GOAT at running back. This team is going to the Super Bowl. Beating the Giants, beating the Cowboys, beating Atlanta. And then we're going to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers and win the title. Let's go. Go Pack, go, baby.
All right, Chris, thoughts on that voicemail?
We needed that voicemail because I think we were a little bit negative in that first segment for a win, especially a win against the Bears that got the all-time series finally tied. That was pure optimism. I love it, and I don't want to disagree with it. I think this team can make a run. Even with all of its flaws, I think this team can make a run, and God, it would be fun to do that again. You know, hell, do all three on the road if we have to. It was a fun way to do it the first time. Let's do it again.
And finishing by beating Pittsburgh in the Super Bowl again. That'd be great.
Yeah, that would work. Absolutely.
Absolutely. James, what do you think?
I absolutely agree. I think that I can't think of a better way to finish out this year than by completely proving everybody wrong and shutting everybody up and doing what we know they're capable of doing. And I like the guy's optimism. Thanks for calling in.
Although I would rather have as a Super Bowl foe, I'd rather beat the Patriots. But I'm not going to be picky.
Yeah, I think everybody would like to beat the Patriots.
Is there any way to get the Browns in there somehow?
Not legally.
I mean, we can buy them tickets.
I still don't think they'd be allowed in.
That could be. They're kind of not welcome.
We're going to work on some sort of Scooby-Doo thing where they're wearing masks.
They stack each other like two people in a trench coat.
They would have gotten away with it if it weren't for you meddling podcasters.
You pull off Bill Belichick's head, it's like John Madden.
Or just an older Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're getting into a whole weird area here. I think it's time we get into Papa K's Nuggets of Wisdom. And again, if you're new to the podcast, Papa K is Chris's dad. And every week he drops nuggets of wisdom on us, and they are pretty smart. And we sit here and think, man, why didn't I think of that? So here is his voicemail for this week.
Hi, this is Bill Christofko calling after the Packers, shall we call it, pulsating 30-27 win over the Chicago Bears. A game that Wayne Larrabee called Kristen Michael's touchdown run in the third quarter, the dagger into the heart of the Chicago Bears, but didn't quite end up that way as the Bears rallied in the fourth quarter. And fortunately, Micah Hyde knocked down a pass near the goal line that forced the field goal and enabled Rodgers to heave that gorgeous 60-yard pass to Jordy Nelson that set up Mason Crosby's winning field goal. Quite a finish to that game. The offense is fun to watch again, considering that in that very cold weather, the Packers scored 30 points, even though Devontae Adams dropped two touchdown passes and Jordy Nelson dropped another long pass that could have set up a score. The running game was outstanding. Ty Montgomery running over tacklers. Kristen Michael for the long touchdown run. And it gives us hope that if the Packers do make the playoffs, and of course they have to win two games to do that, that there will be a running game for the remainder of the season, and especially in this cold weather. We're also seeing that Jared Cook is a factor, especially on third down and in the middle of the field. That can only help. So the offense, really fun to watch again. On defense, a couple things are painfully obvious. Number one, and these are not great insights, but to the fan's eye, the lack of a pass rush really hurts and will really hurt against the better teams. And of course, injuries are a factor. Clay Matthews is playing with a rather badly injured shoulder. Nick Perry is out. And without those two rushers, a lot of pressure is on Julius Peppers. And Julius is a rather elderly gentleman. Even though he did have the sack and fumble recovery, he just shouldn't be playing significant snaps on the pass rush. He doesn't seem to have that much left. He's more a situational player, and it's hurting that the Packers are missing their two best pass rushers. And also, it really hurts that Sam Shields is unable to play. And I know as a fan, I hope Sam retires for the sake of his health. He's been a tremendous player. He's really missed. But when you've had five concussions, it's probably time to walk away from the game with what is left of your health. The young cornerbacks, especially Demarius Randall and Quinton Rollins, we don't know what we're getting from them game to game or even series to series. How far the Packers go the rest of the regular season and if they make the playoffs, how far they go in the playoffs is really going to depend on how much pass rush can be generated and how these young guys can hold up in pass defense. It's going to be quite a challenge for them. One last thing. It seems so obvious, but it is so much better to win than to lose. I know we think that that's an obvious statement, but consider how we feel when the Packers lose, and especially if the Packers had lost that game after having a 27-10 lead in the fourth quarter. The victory enables the Packers to still control their own destiny, and it helps us forget the drop passes, enables us to focus more on the beautiful pass to Rodgers through to Nelson, and for our hopes for what's going to go on the rest of the season. I'm not super optimistic given the injuries and the issues on defense, but what the heck? Play the games. Let's see what happens. I'm certainly encouraged by the four straight wins. Let's see what happens in these next two games and just enjoy the ride. Thanks very much. Good night.
All right. Thanks again to Bill Christofko for calling in. And Chris, I will go to you first once again. Thoughts on your dad's comments?
So the first thing I want to say is we don't listen to these calls ahead of time on purpose because we want to react to them. So I was happy to hear that we said a lot of the same things that my dad said because he's infinitely more intelligent when it comes to the Packers than we are. But I do feel like we've committed some sort of podcasting malpractice by not mentioning Ty Montgomery at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, wow, has he really changed the season, really, even in that one game? What I think my dad hit on is the Packers offense is fun to watch again, and now you can truly say again that that offense has a puncher's chance against anyone, right? If they're functioning the way they are right now, even with the defense being terrible, if it comes down to a shootout, you feel like they can even compete with the best teams because they're so much better than they were even 4, 5, 6 weeks ago. So this defense, having a solid running game, having Jordy Nelson coming back, having Aaron Rodgers back to his old self, even though he is injured, that's a lot of what this team can do. If you were, again, not to go back to 2010 and use it as a crutch, but if you go back to 2010, that team was able to survive because, first of all, it did have a solid defense, but when it needed to, that offense was explosive and could take over a game. This offense can do the same, but it's going to have to pick up for the defense a little bit more. But, you know, with an offense this good, with the way we saw it function against the Bears, we've seen it in the last couple weeks, if it can continue, you can say, look, you got a fighting chance against almost anyone. So that's what I'm left with optimistically out of this game. And again, you there are four critical drop passes, two by Nelson, two by Adams. They complete those, and we have a different narrative today, and we might not even be worried about Dom Capers and the defense because it never became a factor. So I am excited about the offense. I am, you know, kind of, again, still cautiously optimistic because the team is flawed, but just about any team is at this point. But, you know, and again, we all agree on Sam Shields. It hurts you not having him, but damn, you just want him to be healthy and not worry about coming back.
James, your thoughts on Papa K's comments, and how exactly did we go this long without mentioning Ty Montgomery?
I don't know, but I feel like the world's biggest a-hole for not talking about him. Sorry if I had to bleep that out, Jeremy, but oh man, how did we go 45 minutes without talking about Ty Montgomery? And Papa K, as usual, spot on, right on the head. I'm definitely going to take the next couple games and just enjoy the ride because I don't want to set myself up for the same feelings that I got, you know, in last year and the year before, although I know inevitably I will, cause I can't help it. I torture my soul every year, but, I think that this offense can hang with anybody now. Ty Montgomery is a revelation to the team. If they would have done this in week 6 instead of waiting till week, you know, 13 or 14 to really bring him on, I think we'd be having a whole different conversation right now. So I can't wait to watch. It's gone to the point now where I've gone from, man, this offense, I just can't watch him. It makes me sad. I cannot wait for Aaron Rodgers to get that ball in his hand to see what he does with it. It's great.
I think the best part of Ty Montgomery is when they drafted him, I remember thinking, like, what? Why did they draft him? He's kind of like, you know, the ninth receiver on the depth chart. He's a return man, but they're not using him as a return man that much. So where does he fit in? And finally, we found where he fits in, and that's as a running back, believe it or not. And he's good. I mean, and he's only going to get better with more experience. You know, he's about 48 hours into being an NFL running back in its truest form, and he gets real small when he needs to. He's able to get through the hole, and he's patient, all the things you want to see. And he's not really undersized. You know, it's like, why didn't we do this earlier?
Yeah, I never understood that all year long, since they started kind of slowly folding him into the running back position was, well, he's too small. He'll never be able to handle 20 carries a game. He'll never make it through a full season as a normal running back. Well, you know what? He's 6'1" or 6'2" or 6', somewhere in that range, and he's 220 pounds. How much bigger do you want him to be? I mean, you know, he's Le'Veon Bell's only an inch taller than him and maybe 5 pounds heavier. And I'm not in any way saying that he's Le'Veon Bell, but size-wise, they're comparable. And, you know, I think it's silly to suggest that just because he's not Eddie Lacy size, which we all complained about for 4 years too, that he won't be a viable NFL running back. I think he could be an extremely good NFL running back. And he already has been. He's already started to show that. And he's only, like you said, he's only going to get better. He's like a fine soup. Like the longer
There we go.
Okay, so yeah, you know what? This just came to me right now. So you buy the ingredients to make a dish, and it turns into a soup because, you know, something got screwed up along the way. You put it in the fridge, you let it sit overnight, you bring it out the next morning or the next afternoon, you got yourself a delicious, delicious hot bowl of soup. And that's what Ty Montgomery is right now. He is a fine vicious swath of soup.
But soup is delicious, generally.
Soup. He's soup. Ty Montgomery is soup.
Can we get that nickname to catch on? Soup. Oh, that's a good chant.
Yes, it is. It started here.
I don't think it'll be very difficult to trace that one back.
Yeah, our marks are kind of all over that.
All right, yeah, I think soup, yeah, I'm sure that'll catch on. I still think we need to cut James off on the barbecue sauce. I think you've had enough for today, but...
Hey, you know what? I can hold my barbecue sauce. You don't know me.
Gosh, I sure hope so.
You're not the boss of me. You can't take this away from me. I'm an adult.
That's right. I'm not driving.
Oh, dear. All right. Time for true false. At least I certainly hope it is, because we're getting into weird areas again. James,
mm-hmm.
buddy, pal, yeah. How do you think things went with true false last week?
I have to, the law of averages dictates that since I got all of them right the week before, I probably got all of them wrong last week.
No, not quite. Actually, you did fine. I just like making you nervous at the top of this segment now.
It works every time, too.
Yeah, it's fun. Actually, Chris got 4 out of 5 correct last week. And do you remember the one that you got wrong, Chris?
Of
I mentioned it
not.
Earlier in the episode. It was the Barkley one. Matt Barkley passes for 5 yards or whatever, and we all said false.
That's the one that we all got wrong. Yeah.
That's the one that tripped us up. So, but Chris got 4 right. James, you got 3 right. Jeremy got his picks in. He had 2 right. I also had 2 right. So the current standings, James is in first place with 39 correct answers. Jeremy and Chris tied for second again with 30. I am back in my rightful place, fourth place, with 28 correct answers.
I only need about 6 playoff games to catch James. So I got to hope that they're the wild card in the NFC and AFC.
Alrighty, I will hopefully ask some good questions for you guys to give differing answers on here. So here we go. True false number one. Aaron Rodgers throws for at least 260 yards. Rodgers is 10th in the league, averaging 270.1 pass yards per game. He only threw for 213 yards last time the Pack faced Minnesota, and last week's 252 yards was the most he's thrown for the last 3 weeks. Minnesota is 3rd best in the league against the pass, allowing 205.6 yards per game through the air. So Aaron Rodgers throws for at least 260 yards, and James, you get to go first this week.
I wish I knew if Harrison Smith was playing, because that would probably affect my answer. But since I don't, I'm just going to operate under the assumption that he will, just because it's the Packers. And I think I'm going to go with false.
All right, Chris.
It's going to be a balmy 33 degrees, it looks like, at about game time. Oh, that tempts me to, you know what, I might have to swing for the fences here with James being ahead of me. The funny thing that Rodgers has put together some great games, but every time I'm astounded by how few yards he's actually thrown for, once you look back at the stats, it seems like it's so much more. But yeah, let's say he goes over, so I'll say true for this one.
All right, I am going to say false on this one. Joining James, usually we do well when we agree on these things, so we'll see if that holds up. True false number two, Sam Bradford gets sacked at least twice. Strap in, because I got a lot of info on this one. Sam Bradford is the 7th most sacked quarterback in the league, having hit the deck 33 times this season. The Vikes have kept him from getting sacked 3 times this year, and 2 of those 3 games have come in the last 4 weeks. But interestingly, when he's sacked once, a second sack always follows. And he was actually sacked 5 times last week against Indianapolis, who is in a 4-way tie for 17th in that category. So it's not like the Colts have a great pass rush or anything. One less sack, they actually would be 20th in the league right now. Green Bay is tied for 9th in the league with 34 sacks. The Packers got to him 4 times back in week 2. So Sam Bradford gets sacked at least twice. James, true or false?
True. I think we'll get to him twice. I don't know who it'll be. It's not going to be Clay Matthews, and it's not going to be Nick Perry. I know that much. But somebody will get to him. I have a good feeling about it.
All right, Chris.
Yeah, I think 2 is about the right number. I'll say true as well.
All right, I'm going to say true also. True-false number 3, the Vikings gain at least 70 yards rushing. Minnesota has averaged 70.6 yards on the ground per game. That is dead last in the league. The Packers' current ranking against the run is 10th, allowing 96.1 rushing yards per game. So the Vikings gain at least 70 yards rushing, 7-0. James, true or false?
True, I think. It seems like every week the Packers' rush defense just keeps like getting lower and lower and lower. And Adrian Peterson isn't good anymore, but he's still Adrian Peterson, and true.
All right, Chris.
Not just because I want to beat James, but I just don't think they will. I'm going to say false. Again, I think the weather is going to lend to they're going to have the ability to pass. Packers' weakness is in its secondary and in the middle of the field. And I think the run defense is still relatively solid. So despite not having as great a performance as they did at the beginning of the year, I think they hold the Vikings to very few rushing yards.
All right. I will actually agree with Chris on this one and go false. I think Bradford or whoever is quarterbacking the Vikings is, because Bradford, you know, might not last much longer at this point, but I imagine there's going to be a lot of passing going on from Minnesota's side. That's my thought. True false number 4. Stephon Diggs pulls in at least 80 yards receiving. Diggs is averaging less than 44 yards per game over the last 3 weeks. Green Bay is 9th worst against the pass this year, and Diggs had a season-high 182 yards against Green Bay back in Week 2. So Stephon Diggs pulls in at least 80 yards receiving. James, true or false?
Absolutely, because they don't have anybody else. And that seems to be the Packers' problem. When the team only has one guy that can really go out and make plays, that's the one guy the Packers can't cover. So, yes.
All right, we got a true there. Chris, true or false?
Yeah, this is a true. I think the last time he had about, 700 yards when they played? He's going to do quite well.
All right, I will go the other way on that. I'll say false. Brings us to true-false number 5. Ty Montgomery, there's that name again, rushes for at least 80 yards. Ty Montgomery had 162 rushing yards last week and is averaging 6.5 yards per carry. Minnesota is 18th against the run, allowing 106.3 yards per game. So again, Ty Montgomery rushes for at least 80 yards. James, true or false?
True. I think McCarthy's Mike might have found a new toy in a rushing game that he hasn't had all year long. And I think he's going to try to make use of it. So, true.
All right, Chris.
Torn on this one. That's a pretty big number. Oh, but hell, it's fun to root for. So let's say true.
All right. I will also say true, although I'm feeling a little iffy about that for some reason, which is probably a good thing because a lot of my instincts are horribly, horribly wrong, as my ex-girlfriends can tell you. Time now to move on to the next segment, which is called, of course, Spread 'em.
All right, hands on the hood. And spread them.
Let's see, I actually haven't had any girlfriends. That was a joke. The Packers on Bovada.lv as of Tuesday night are 6.5 point favorites. That is to say 6.5 point favorites. Meaning if you take Green Bay and spread them, you believe the Packers will win by 7 points or more. If you pick Minnesota, you believe Minnesota will win, tie, or that the Packers will win by 6 points or less. Chris, have I still got that right?
Yeah, but I saw the line at 7 tonight. I don't know. You saw 6.5?
I saw 6.5 earlier today. They may have changed it.
So, yeah, tonight. So, if you don't mind, we'll go with 7 because I have already posted it on the Twitter account. So, the Packers 7-point favorites according to Bodog. But you have it right. You're essentially saying the Packers will win by more than 7. If you pick the Vikings, you're picking the Vikings to either lose by less than 7 or to win the game outright.
Yes. So that is our late-breaking news. Packers now 7-point favorites. So, Chris, I believe you were the only one that actually won Spread'em last week, picking Chicago. So you have the lead now with a 6-7-1 record. James is at 5-8-1. I've got Jeremy at 4-9-1. I'm 5-8-1. And our Twitter folks keep picking the Packers most weeks, and that keeps not going all that well because the Pack just keeps screwing with the spread. So as the leader, Chris, you get to go first. You going Green Bay or Minnesota?
I'm going to take Minnesota. They're not going to win outright, but 7's a huge number, especially considering garbage time touchdowns. And in the NFL, 7 is a really big line, and I just don't have any confidence that the Packers are going to blow them out, which is what you're betting on if you're betting, plus 7 or minus 7, I should say.
All right, James.
I need to catch up, so I'm going to go ahead and take Green Bay. I think Green Bay is going to win. I don't think they're going to win by 7, but I need to catch up.
I think the Packers could surprise us and put up a good number of points on Minnesota, so I'm going to go with Green Bay and be Mr. Optimism there. And, of course, we will get Jeremy's True, False, and Spread'ems, and hopefully we will have Jeremy back fairly soon. I say fairly soon because, I've noticed the smell is not quite as strong in the studios. Never mind. That pretty much does it for the show. Of course, you can hear Titletown Sound on TitletownSoundOff.com, and you can find lots of cool articles and informative stuff there. We post throughout the week, so by all means, please check in there. Feel free to make it your homepage, too, because, that'd be cool. It'd make us happy. And you can tweet at TitletownSound, and if you prefer to vocalize your thoughts, you can call our voicemail line at 920-HIKE-TTSO.
Oh, God.
Or if that didn't make any sense, that's a thing now. 920-445-8876. And I don't know, James, you got anything you want to add? I think I forgot.
I would like to reiterate the Titletown Sound policy of making sure that I give Aaron Rutkowski every bit of attention that I can. So happy birthday, Aaron. I hope you listen to this and hear me say this most sincerely. I thank you every day for your presence on this team. And every time you carry the ball, I feel things. And why won't you return my emails? We could have something special. But happy birthday! Happy birthday!
I didn't have any love music queued up there, so sorry about that. Chris, anything you want to add before we go?
Two quick things. First, as I always say, good night, Prince Janice. And then also I'd like to say, good night, Ramsey. Love you.
Very good. And Chris, did you have any notes about the officiating crew that you wanted to mention?
Yeah, I forgot that they announced the officiating crew for Saturday. Ladies and gentlemen, the Packers will be officiated by the crew of Jeff Triplett.
God, this is such fucking crap. It's crap on top of crap smothered in shit.
Exactly. Yep.
I feel like we should run that a few times, actually, considering it's a triplet, but we will hope for the best, I guess. So, on that note, don't forget to pet your cat. Jeremy, we miss you. Hugs and kisses. We'll have you back soon. And thanks for listening to Titletown Sound, and check us out next week for episode 91. Bye!